In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the seventh month, the 30th day of the year 2023, and it's the ninth Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Let us be glad and rejoice therein.
Today's lecture is going to be on deathbed conversions. I've done lectures on it before. I want to do it again because we have another potential deathbed conversion with Brother Mario and his father, Mario Sr. Now, as we know, his mother converted on her deathbed. She took the abjuration, confirmed it. He got all the everything that we needed to prove that she abjured and took the profession. So she's presumed to be in heaven. Now, also, Mario's father now consented to the abjuration. He read it to him a couple times. His father consented to it. His father's ready to die any day. And he told his father, if you survive, you then have to live this out. You have to obey God's commandments. And you have to. So he gave them, and his father consented. And so if that's the case, and he dies, he's presumed. Now, even his mother's presumed. No one we know for certain is in heaven or hell except people in the Bible. Other than that, you're either presumed to be in hell or presumed to be in heaven. So his mother's presumed to be in heaven. If his father dies, as do with the profession, according to what Mario said, he's presumed to be in heaven, to be saved. Now, I say presumed, because why? We don't know his heart. His father took the abjuration, and he was conscious and all that, but you really don't know the ultimate heart of people. God knows the heart. Is he just taking it because for whatever reason, he didn't really mean it, or there's some twisted motive that we don't know about? So, okay, then he's not in heaven. But we have to presume his motive is good. You can't go around putting bad motives on people when they do good things. So if a guy takes a profession and he tells you, I believe, you have to believe he means what he says until he proves to you different. Because if you don't do that, we can accuse everybody. I can look at everybody right now and say, no, you don't really believe. You fake, you're lying, you don't really believe, You start doing that stuff, you can't trust, it's really bad. So Mario, this is his second potential deathbed conversion. I said, we're going to call him, if he saves us all, Mario, we're going to call him the deathbed saint converter. He has the time to do it. He was able to spend time and get a hold of his father so nobody else can get a hold of him. And that's a great blessing alone, that God allowed him to be next to his father and his mother previously on their deathbed. That's a big sign from God. Most people, if you're a good Catholic in these days, you can't get near your dying Catholic family members because the rest of the family members are going to take them over, and probably the family member isn't watching near them, so you're not even going to get near them. But in this case, God allowed Mario to step in there and be the one who's with his father when he's dying. So that's a good sign, at least a beginning, because you need to have that. I couldn't get close to my parents. Even anytime I tried to, last time I spoke to my mother on the phone, my sister at my sister's house in Virginia, and I told my mother she was going to hell if she doesn't repent. And then my sister called me back and says, Mom's all upset. You told her she's going to hell. She can't sleep. You got her all angry. I don't want you talking to Mom no more. Bye, 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 bye. That was it. I said, well. See, now, if my mother would have been a good will, somehow she would have been consciousness and got a hold of me and said, I want to talk to her. It doesn't happen. So that's a sign right there. And they say something like Voltaire wanted to convert on his deathbed, but he couldn't get a priest or something. Mm-hmm. But I question, well, he could have. I don't know. But so what we're saying with deathbed conversions, they're presumed like Angelica and like Brother Ron, and if we have no information that they were insincere or they were in some type of mortal sin, we have to presume they're saved. Just like if there's no evidence that somebody became Catholic or a Catholic, so from the information we have, they're not Catholic, they're presumed to be in hell. And if we had a bad Catholic that was an obstinate mortal sinner in public, and he died that way, and we don't have any evidence that he repented, he's presumed to be in hell. So with Mario's father, the presumption, if he dies, is that he's going to be saved. So just like with his mother. And anybody who says, you mean to tell me it's that, well, look, if God allowed the situation to be lined up the way it is, and I just told you how hard it is for a good Catholic to get by the deathbed of a dying non-Catholic parent, like all of us, it's impossible. He had that opportunity, so that's already a sign from God that God wants to work with his father. And if you deny deathbed conversions, you're denying God's mercy. Yeah. You're like the person in the story where Jesus offered a penny to the laborers. And the ones at the beginning of the day, worked the whole day, got a penny. The ones who worked three quarters of the day, they got a penny. And then the person comes in on the last hour, and he gets hired. And the thing here is like saved. And he gets the same penny because he gets saved too. And the other people get jealous at him because they did all the work their whole life, but this guy on his deathbed, his last hour, he comes in, he gets the same reward. What's sort of like it's sort of like the prodigal son. How dare you? If this guy converts and he gains heaven, right now, like we believe Sister Angelica's in heaven, presumed in heaven, his father. You mean to tell me, Lord, I've been all this time doing all this work, writing all these Bibles, fighting all these people. I don't even know if I'm going to be saved yet. And then when I die, I just get saved, and he gets saved that easy, and he don't got to do nothing. He doesn't got to go through what we did. He doesn't have to go through all the stuff about finding out who's true, who's not true, and do all the studying and all that like we have to. Well, a lot of your early martyrs, when they came into the church, if you were a soldier and you converted and you accepted Christ, the very next day, you're dead. You don't even have time to live out your faith. You don't have time to study it any further. You have to believe in the basic dogmas. Which gets to what we're saying. If you have to at least give him the profession of faith of the basic dogmas. He needs to at least believe in that. And that's good enough if you don't have time. If you have time, then, and Mario said he did, you read out the whole profession of faith and have them consent to it. But this jealousy thing is crazy. Because you can say that. You can say like, let's say I've been around for 20 years, and this guy's been 5 years, and you mean he could be saved after only 5 years? I mean, well, he said, and God's not, you're not talking about the reward either. In heaven, there's different rewards. I believe on deathbed conversions, you're talking about people that are saved by the skin of their teeth. So the reward's not going to be that great, maybe, but what's it matter when you're in heaven? Even the lowest mansion is total glory. Yeah. Totally wonderful, even if you're in the lowest mansion in heaven. So the point is there was this jealousy going on, which you can see. It's like the parable son kind of son, you know? I've been doing all this work. I've been sweating it out. We're fighting all these people. And here's this guy on his deathbed within the last day or two. He says, okay, and he goes. Well, guess what? A lot of your early martyrs were like that. Sometimes it would be the same day. They would profess, the soldier would get up and say, I'm a Christian. And his head comes off in a couple hours. And he's done. All he believed in was the basic dogmas. So don't let jealous and envy get in the way and say, how could God do that? And that's a selfish, mean bastard.
Yeah.
Come on, you don't want people to be saved. You should give joy to God, that he's merciful. And God says that right here. Jesus is giving this parable for this reason. He says, this is Matthew chapter 20. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace, idle. And he said to them, go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way. And again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did in like manner. But about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why stand you here all the day idle? They say to him, because no man had hired us. He said to them, go you into my vineyard. And when the evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When therefore they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. And when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more. And they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, these last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heats. But he answering said to one of them, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last, even as I did to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? In thy eye evil? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. And he's telling other ones, you're not even going to be saved with that attitude.
Yeah.
If you're going to say that, and you're jealous because he got saved in the last hour, and you did the heated work, then you're going to hell. You're going to get at least a lesser place in heaven than even this guy for complaining. So what are you complaining about? This guy didn't have Mario's parents that never had the gospel preached to him till by Mario, to the last hour on their deathbed. And God gave him the grace and Mario the opportunity to be by his deathbed. All that was planned by God. All of us can't get near our family members when they're dying. And that's a sign from God. Of course, if they asked us, we would go. If we had the opportunity, we would do it. We can't get near them. But this is what happens. It's like the prodigal son. And Christ is saying, I'm giving him salvation too. And you mean he doesn't have to do all the stuff we're doing? And there's the other consideration where he didn't say this in here, our Lord God, but what he's saying to these other people, though, is you may not even be saved now because of your attitude.
Yeah.
Like if the prodigal son didn't forgive, and if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. If he didn't forgive his wayward son who repented, that prodigal son going to hell, and the kid that lived a whole life is going to be saved. Brings us to our other verse, in Ezekiel chapter 33. It says, is the just man do justice his whole life and then commits iniquity right near the end of his life, he shall die in his iniquity. Yeah. If the wicked man shall do wickedness his whole life, but then on his deathbed, last hour, he shall convert and do judgment and justice, he shall live in his judgment and justice.
There's another opposite side to look at this also, and that is one who helps save another man's soul saves his own soul.
Right. Anybody who helps to save the soul, it's even for the benefit of Mario's own soul.
Right.
So you're doing it for yourself also. So there's that double benefit always, that bond of charity. But there's a thing like, you could be good your whole life, but if you fall away in the last, that means you're ultimately not good. Ultimately, there's something in you that was really evil, and you proved it because before you died, you fell away. And God allowed you to die in that condition. So God's saying, you thought, even though you were good all this time, you weren't really ultimately good because I saw there was something evil in your heart that came out right before you died when you committed these particular sins. And you die in it. But he gives hope to people that are really bad, horrible sinners. And like in Augustine, you see, it's very wonderful when his father converted on his deathbed. And St. Augustine got jealous. And he said to the mother, you think those formulas are going to help Daddy? He was a rotten bastard his whole life. Yeah, he was. But now he says, I don't want to be like that anymore. On his deathbed, you can get a lot of people on your deathbed. Mm-hmm. I believe there's definitely more deathbed conversions than I originally thought. I thought it was rare, but I don't think it's rare. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's rare. I think it's more common than you think because there's certain people in situations that there was no one there to help or preach them, and the God sees they did some good things, so God on their deathbed gets them the truth, and he gets them what they need, mm-hmm. and a lot of times you don't even see it. God intervenes. It's like miraculous.
Yeah.
But our point from our perspective, though, we need evidence. So that's why we say the only people we can say are definitely in hell are the ones what the Bible tells us. Yeah. That's God's word telling us they're in hell. And the only people we can say are definitely in heaven are the Bible, the word of God. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the apostles, they're in heaven. Other than that, you're either presumed to be in hell or you're presumed to be in heaven. If you're presumed to be in hell, we abhor you, we can't pray for you, and that's it. If you end up being saved, fine, we'll find out later on, and so what? But even Mario's, even his father now, doesn't have some type of a motive in his heart that was sufficient for God. Only God knows that. We don't know that. We can't start doing that if there's secrets in the hearts of people, unless God reveals it to somebody. And one of us, and usually what happens, though, if their motive isn't good, a lot of times it comes out, but not all the time. If he lives, then we'll have to see what he does, and he doesn't die and he recovers, then he's going to have to, like Mario told him. You're going to have to continue to learn the faith. You're going to have to obey the commandments. You're going to have to do this, this, and that. But that's like, I think Sister Nicolai was asking, she would like, what should she do? Woman, this applies to women and men. Doesn't matter. If you're a woman, you're a good Catholic, and you're the only good Catholic in your whole family, you're a woman, you got to try to convert your non-Catholic family. It doesn't matter, woman or man. If you're a good Catholic woman, then your job is, if Nicolai gets the opportunity to tend for somebody and her family on the deathbed and God puts her close to them, she has the opportunity to preach to them. And the first thing is, of course, you have all the brothers praying for them. And you read the basic profession of faith first, not the big one. The basic one's only 2 pages. I think it's 2 pages. Just read it. That's full of dynamite. And then you see if they accept it. Now, but what you don't want to do is lie to us. If you do that, then now your family member's not going to be saved. Now you're going to go to hell with them. If you say, oh, yeah, she accepted the abjuration, you know? Like some people, we had other people, that guy would say, oh, she should have, like, went like this, and I think it was a yes, and I don't know if it was a yes or a no. I quoted the profession of faith, and I said, "Do you believe in this?" And she went, "Eh." I think that meant yes. Could she speak? Yeah, but you know, she could speak. But why didn't she say yes? Well, she, I don't know. Maybe she was a little tired. You know, you can make excuses. Yeah. Don't lie about it. Yeah. If you lie about it, or if Mario was lying about this, then he'd be in deep trouble. And Mario fears God. From everything I know about Mario, and so. He's not going to lie about it. But if you do, we're going to have to presume the person's saved because on your testimony, but the person's not going to be saved, nor are you going to be saved, unless you confess what you did later on. You know, 5 years ago when I said my husband or my son converted on his deathbed, that was a lie. I just said that I'm sorry, you know. You'd have to repent. If you didn't confess it, you're going to go to hell. That's serious business. So you got to get them to, you read these things and you consent. And let God be the ultimate judge of the heart. Sometimes you can sit back and say, did they really comprehend it? Well, they have the use of reason. He said yes. So then accept it. Yeah. Let God sift it out when they go to their judgment day. But like I said, too, with Brother Mario, it's a good sign that he was able to get by the deathbed. And even with his mother, and he was like a little pit bull. You know, like the movie St. Anthony of Padua? Giulietta says, yeah. "I'll be his little pit bull. Yeah. I'll be his little watchdog." Yeah. So Mario's by the bedside, making sure that his father doesn't get these. And we were that way with Ron. Ron didn't need as much as someone else because he's already faithful. Mm-hmm. But you still have to be careful anyway. Mm-hmm. When you're on your, even if you're a good Catholic, you're in a hospital, things can happen. Mm-hmm. Death is the critical moment when many things can happen. But that's what we're saying about these deathbed conversions. And think about it, you're saying, I preach this, you don't want the guy to be saved? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Are you? I don't even care if he's saved and gets the highest position in heaven, I get the lowest. What? He's saved. What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Remember that one verse in Mark 6 or Matthew 6, 14? He who does not, he who will not forgive will not be forgiven. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also your offenses. But if you will not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive you your offenses. So if you don't forgive your brother, you're not gonna, that means for the injuries they've done to you or something, any injuries or wrongs they've done to you. But I don't care how bad somebody was their whole life, but whatever they did to me personally, that's a personal injury. I that goes over my back. I'm worried about his current condition. I can't forgive his sins unless, as in the sense of remitting him, if he's guilty, you have to still condemn him. But he means don't take it personal. You should be happy that if someone persecuted your whole life, was St. Paul, who was killing Christians. This guy was like, he was like a Benjamin Netanyahu or a maniac going out there killing Christians. And then he ends up converting. It would be like, no, not this guy, Lord. And then God will say, you look in the mirror at your own sins. So that was the thing on the deathbed conversions. Any questions on that so far from anybody?
Well, they would have to miraculously receive the three sacraments in God's...
Oh, yeah, in today's world, because we have no Catholic priest, God will make sure that they're going to get the sacrament.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Richard?
Yeah.
Oh, good, finally.
Yeah.
Okay, just trying to see if the phone is working, the earphone is working. It is working. So what can I tell you, when I'm not with my father, doctors are doing something, I don't know what it is. Looks like he's getting a little bit worse or something like that. I hope. I think that what you said is correct, right? I mean, we need to be absolutely sure of what we do. Remember when my mother took the abjuration, I didn't want to believe it because she was in a war state. She couldn't even utter a word, nothing. So I asked Brother Theo, and he said, do it one more time to be sure. So what I did with my father, he is different because he could talk. He can talk. So he gave me, he looked at me the whole time when I was reading the abjuration, like never before, looked at me the whole time, agreeing everything, nodding all the time. And at the end, are you sure what you agreeing to? Yes, absolutely, yes. Before that, what I did is I explained to him for the nth time what an abjuration is. And he was kind of, he already knew, I already know that, but let me explain you again what an abjuration is. Do you understand and agree about that?
Yes.
Okay, let's do the abjuration then. So the thing that, about what you say is that I believe that if we are sometime before the abjuration, with my mother, I've been 8 months, with my mother, with my father, 2 months now, explaining and talking about the faith and everything, I think that makes the difference, because they already know what they are going to do, what they are supposed to do. And what they do, they know exactly, and they know that they agree, and they know exactly what it means to take an abjuration.
And God gave you the time
right.
to be with them. That's no coincidence. There's exactly. no coincidences with God. And like you said perfectly, it wasn't even like one day. You've been with him for 2 months. You were with your mother for 8 months. God's rewarding your faith, but he's also, it's not just, you can still really be of good faith like and still not be able to talk to your parents. It's a sign that your father has some goodwill, that God allowed this to happen, and that he's consenting. So what more is needed to be done? The abjuration, the profession, our faith. He said, yes, I do consent. And the signs are there. I mean, it's a good sign that Mario was able to be the one that's taking care of him. So there's a lot of good signs there. And even if it wasn't 2 months, it was only a week, you still have to presume they're saved, that they're consenting, because that's what you need to do to become Catholic. You have to consent to the Catholic faith. They even have like people that were deep mortal sins, and let's say a guy committed adultery a second time, and you gave him a 7-year penance, and he can't even come back into the church for 7 years, he's at a minor excom, and he can't even be, his sin can't even be remitted till 7 years, but he's in his deathbed after 3 years, you would go in and you would then remit his sin on his deathbed. So, in fact, he got back on here again, too. He was off, now he's back on again. The devil's trying to knock, was messing around Mario down there. So anyway, my thing is that, as Sister Nicoline was saying, too, because a lot of people, she's more closer to some family members, you just, if you ever get the opportunity, of course, but a lot of times, in all our cases, forget about it. It's impossible. First of all, the family member in my family, whoever got sick, don't even want to see me. So forget that. And then it's mutual. Unless they said, unless they did say, and they know what I believe. So now if they said, I want to see Richard, I'm going. But then I have to go through the other obstacle, which is the other family members blocking me from seeing them. And I would try to do all I could. And even if I couldn't, after all that, then it's God's will. There's nothing you can do about it. But there's cases where you could definitely have, God puts you in that position where you can preach to them and teach them on their deathbed, and it's a great grace. It has to do with predestination, too. God's all-knowing mind about, you know.
Glennie Boy was, you know, staying with Dad in Wenatchee, and I wrote him this big, long letter. And I'm not sure he ever got it. I mean, you know, I think my dad kept him, because he never answered, never said he got it.
That's right. Like with Bruce's family, we had like a couple of his brothers with us, then they left, they were with us, they fell away. Some were never with us, and then one of them, Glennie Boy's talking about, and he ended up dying, but he was in Washington State with the rest of your family?
Yeah.
And then Bruce heard he was dying or something, so Bruce wrote him a letter, because they don't want to talk to him. It's like mutual. I mean, Bruce was always trying to convert them, but they say Bruce is a kook, he's a nut. Yeah. They don't want to talk to him. So Bruce wrote him a whole letter, and he doesn't know if he got it.
You don't even know if he got it.
But you did what you could do. That's it. You are where you are. If that person would have been good, God would have let you speak to him. He would ask. Think about this: if Glennie Boy was of goodwill, he would have said, "I want to talk to Bruce," and he would have been persistent in it. And if they prevented him, he would have got on the phone. It would have happened. Yeah. Nothing could stop God's will. So if God saw him of goodwill, you would have been able to speak to him. My point is, you make the effort as much as you could, and if you find out it's impossible, that's it. I don't even think my family members are going to tell me when they die anymore. Some of them could be dead already. Because after the last letter I sent them, they're so bad that they're probably, they don't even want to talk, so I don't, they could all be dead now. Two could be dead, three could be dead, I don't even know. And I don't care. I don't. I only care, I always say this, if one of my family members converted, I'd be so happy I could almost die. If they don't, nothing. I don't care. Nothing. I don't even care. I'll spit on them. If they die, I spit on them. It's just the way it is. You've got to, because if you start getting overly emotional with your family members who are not obstinately not Catholic, then guess what? You don't love God. It's an insult to God. You'll end up cursing God. But I love God so much right now. There's no place in my family, there's no place in my heart for any of them. None of them. Nothing. Dead! Because as they are dead. Remember the Lord said, you know, let the dead bury the dead and move on? And he's talking about living people. People with dead souls. Blind leading the blind into the pit. If they convert, I'll be happier than anybody. Until then, because the devil knows if you've got a little attachment in there, he's going to start playing with you. He's going to start having a field day with you. So, some family members may not be as bad on the natural plane, where you could talk to them and you could have a relationship with them, because on the natural plane, they're not too bad. Fine. You could have a little more sympathy for them. You have a little more ability to talk to them on the natural law and stuff. And that's fine. Even like, it doesn't have to be family members. It could be just friends in town that are a little bit better than others. Like when you work a job sometimes, there's always a couple of people I always hang with, and you have more in common with. Then you got the kooks, the really bad kooks on the other side. So that has to do with the... that's what we say too when if a person, look how many people that were with us that most of them, like I said before, you know, they know we're getting ready to communicate, then most of them leave on their own before, you know, you don't even have to get to that point. But have we heard from any of them? Now, we have heard from, you will hear from some, and they will come back. So some of them, but if they come back, they come back. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's easy. If they come back, they come back. It's that easy. If they ask, I want Richard to talk to me and teach me the faith, it's that easy. If they don't, they don't. If Mario has the opportunity that God has given him to be by his father and to teach him that faith and his father to consent, that's God's will.
Yeah.
And like we said before, in these days when we don't have it, now his father was legitimately baptized. So he doesn't have to be baptized, but we believe for sure it's a dogma. You need to receive the Holy Eucharist and you need to be confirmed. So God will do that to his father miraculously. And you don't even need to see it. We have proofs of how God has done that. When he rose up the Old Testament elect and put their bodies on,
yeah,
and fed them, baptized them, fed them the Holy Eucharist and confirmed them. Matthew 52. Matthew 27:52-53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had slept arose, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, came into the holy city and appeared unto many. One of the most mystical verses in the whole Bible. And you read Pilate's letter, they're saying they saw Abraham, they saw Jacob, not everybody, a select few, and they're talking to Abraham with his flesh on. Why did they need their flesh? See, we know, why did that happen? They left their flesh behind when they went to heaven with their souls, but they needed to have their bodies to be baptized to receive the Holy Eucharist. I go over that many times and be confirmed. That's what happens nowadays when we don't have a Catholic priest. God, I believe, like even now, Ryan, even though he was never confirmed by a bishop, he already has confirmation. God gave him confirmational graces without a bishop. Epikaya, God can do it, and he does do it. Anyway, that's a whole another issue. But we're talking about, we said it too, I think with a lot of your Protestants that were scandalized by the nominal Catholics and some of your unorthodox schismatics, and they went too far, and they committed sins and all that, and they shouldn't have gone that far, but they got so scandalized. If they'd done a lot of good, and God could get them back into the Catholic Church before they die and save them. And your nominal Catholic who scandalized that guy, he's going straight to hell with no hope. Because look what you did. They're guilty too, but God weighs the balance. And he could say, I know, you were scandalized, you went too far, but because you did, I'm going to convert you before your soul leaves your body, so that you abjure and become a Catholic, and I'm going to bring you to the church on the deathbed. And you don't even need to see it. None of us could need to see it. God can do that in so many different ways. That's why we talk about presuming to be in hell. You mean to tell me Hitler's not in hell? I said, presume. You mean he could possibly be in heaven? Well, yeah, if he's not in hell. Tell that to the Jew. I asked to say to the Jew, of all people I wish converted on their deathbed in the whole world, it's Hitler. I do.
Yeah.
He's presumed to be in hell, yes. He has a horrible heresy. He had a lot of good stuff, too. So anybody, if I ever hope there was a death conversion, would be him. And I said to the Jews, I said, in my book, I said, okay, let's say he did convert. We don't have record of it. He's presumed in hell. But let's say he did convert on his deathbed, and Hitler's in heaven. And the apostate Jew, who's supposed to be, he converts. He's supposed to be a true Catholic. If Hitler's in heaven, I ain't going there. I'm not going to go there. If he's in heaven, I'm not going. Oh! You don't want to go to heaven because you're angry at Hitler, but you killed Christ. The worst sin that could ever be committed, deicide. You killed Christ and you want to be forgiven, but you will not forgive him for sins he didn't even commit in the sense of the Holocaust, which he never did. But you will not forgive him, but you want to be forgiven? Doing the Kabbalah, Hitler didn't do all that witchcraft crap you're doing, all that immoral Talmudic crap. You want to be forgiven, but you will not forgive. That would be my test to see if that Jew has got some goodwill or not, on how what he thinks about Hitler even. You know, a lot of your Jews secretly admire Hitler. Yeah. The ones that know the inside scoop, that really there was no Holocaust. He really didn't want to kill the Jews. They admired his diligence and his order. But that's all about deathbed conversions and all that. But so like I said many times before, I think there's actually... some of the people you think that can never be saved could have the deathbed, and some of the people you think, because there's hide and secret sins, are not saved. That's why I said canonizations are not infallible.
Yeah.
Papal infallibility does not include him judging the secret things of the heart. A pope can judge things that are manifest. It's his duty. So if you're a manifest heretic or a manifest adulterer, that's infallible. It's a duty. You can check that out. But he cannot get into the secrets of the heart. If somebody's hiding something that no one knows about, or hiding that they don't have any evidence on, that's why canonizations are not infallible. And that's what we call a judgment about the person's fate, about the condition of their soul. The Pope is not given infallibility. Only on faith and morals. That's it, defining faith and morals. All right. Any other questions, and then we can end, we'll end that. All right, name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Mm-hmm.